coming up on TMS. It's the bum scope for me.
Aw, what can you make with weed this holiday season?
Mars skull is not a skull.
Episode 7 teaser to be shown all over the country this weekend.
Are you gonna? Well, we'll talk about that. 5 things Katy Perry needs to do at the Super Bowl.
Including shooting footballs out of her chest. Fitness geek.
Oh, I hope so. Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The explosive growth in the number of people who have discovered the power of the internet for learning, marketing, and just plain having fun has been incredible. The internet is changing the way we learn, work, and play forever. Today, some 35 to 40 million people from around the world are linked together through the internet, the world's largest computer network. Students of all ages are discovering the online power of the internet as the ultimate tool for learning. Whether you're in grade school or college or beyond, or you just want to be entertained and have a good time, the internet has something for everyone.
What the hell is that?
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
The soundtrack to your facial Kegel exercises. This is The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream.
Just like the internet, the Morning Stream has got something for everyone. So sit on back, kick your feet up, and enjoy whatever the hell this is we do.
Take your shoes off, slip into a nice bottle of wine, and enjoy.
As famed character actor Peter Stormare once said,
"What the hell is that?"
That's right.
Is that, what kind of accent was that right there?
What the hell is that?
That is a Swedish guy trying real hard to crank out a whatever that was, southern, southwestern
thing. Accent?
Yeah, it's real bad. Not, that movie's not good. That's that Schwarzenegger, I'm the sheriff in a small town for some reason movie that we watched, and it wasn't great. In fact, it really wasn't good at all. Hey, everybody. Hey, what's going on? It's a new show. Let's get into this. Let's get straight to the point. Let's get right to the point. Okay. I'm not going to mess around. I'm not going to dink around. I'm going to just tell you how I got my results yesterday from my nightmare CT scan. You ready for these? Here you go.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
They said, so a lady calls me. It's not my doctor, which kind of bugged me as I figured he'd call, but she calls and she goes, we've got the results from your CT scan. She did it in such a jolly way. I thought she was going to go, and everything's great. You're just, turns out the pain you were having was, you're growing a $4 billion bill in your body. And when it comes out, you're going to cash it.
Think of the opposite though. The last thing specifically you, Scott Johnson, need on the phone is someone going, well, Mr. Johnson, well, we've got the results.
Yeah. No, this is true. You're right. I want her to be upbeat. But what I was hoping from the upbeat was that she was going to say, they didn't find anything. I think, the doctor will probably talk to you. Maybe there's some other, something else going on or some things you could bet about. That's what I thought or had hoped was going to come out of it. What came out of it instead was they're going to want to, they found some inflammation, is what she said. Inflammation. Mm. And that's got them wanting to schedule you now for a colonoscopy. So now I go from test 1 to test 2, which isn't scheduled yet. I'm waiting for a call. I don't know when I'm supposed to hear from those people. Hopefully before I go to Vegas, because that'd be real nice. I'd like to just have this out of my head before I leave town.
I'm sure you would,
because it's in my head constantly about what's going on. So the truth is, colonoscopy doesn't make me nervous at all. I'm fine with that. I mean, I think it's good for everybody to start prepping for their preventive one now anyway. You know, it's time, especially people who have history in their family or if you're getting close to your mid-40s, 50s,
didn't know that this would be coming at some point.
Yeah, eventually not a problem. That doesn't concern me at all. It's that the vagueness of there's some inflammation and they're going to have to do a thing. Well, can you tell me can you tell me the process of how you came to the conclusion that there was oh no, I can't do that. The doctor has to tell you that. Well, why isn't he on the effing phone right now with me?
Please tell me you're going to live stream this on Twitch.
I might have to, right? Do like Katie Couric did. Remember when she did that?
Right. Yep, exactly.
I might have to do that. I don't know if Twitch would like it, though.
Well, you'd have to. I wonder if you could do a little frame that's got like a little Gradius.
Perfect.
Gradius or Tempest spaceship flying around.
Just the lower quarter. The tubes. Exactly.
Avoid spikes.
Somebody just have on someone looping like a speed run of Super Mario Brothers or something. That'll get away with it. But it, the bottom.
Leo had the same idea. Live stream it.
So the bottom line is, it's fine. I don't mind the test. I'm more bothered by I don't know what the hell's going on until I get the test. So that's the part that bugs me. I hate these mysteries. Mysteries bug me. I don't like mysteries, Brian. Sure. I like them in movies. I like them in books. But I don't like them in life. I don't like them have this kind of half I don't know what the hell's going on kind of feeling about all of it.
Yeah.
And if it was, I mean, here's the deal, though. This we can be safe in saying. If they would have, not to get all grim or anything, but if they would have gone in there and said, oh, shoot, he's 60% cancer in here or something like that. Mm-hmm. That, A, they would have seen that. B, they wouldn't have to have another test to confirm it. They would have known.
Right. They would have known. Yeah.
So it's not like something like that. There, it is a mystery to them. It's, oh, it's inflamed. Why? Well, it's not the thing he had before. I wonder what this is. Well, maybe it's contributed by that. Only way to be sure is another test. I get it. And I will go through the motions and do it. I just don't like all this waiting bullshit. I just want to get there and be done and not have to worry about it anymore. That's all. Because everybody, listen, everyone who wants to think, oh, Scott's just a worrier. You would all be worried about this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Okay?
No doubt.
Every damn one of you. So quit pretending. All right. I watched a movie yesterday I wanted to tell you about. I watched it while I worked out, and I watched it when I went to bed, the last half of it. Have you seen the... I can't think of his name now. Crap. Have you seen All Is Lost?
No, not yet. The Robert Redford deal?
Robert Redford stuck on a boat?
No, I do want to see it. It's on our list. It was... it was a nominee. He was nominated for Best Actor.
Best Actor, and I think it may have won for some sound work or something.
Oh yeah. Something. I think it did win for.
And
something.
And sometimes I'll hear about those sound awards and go, whatever. And then I'll see the movie that won and go, whoa, I can see why they won. This movie has incredible sound work.
It does really.
It's awesome. Yeah, if you like, if you even remotely like movies about isolation. And sort of man versus the elements kind of stories.
Kind of a Castaway kind of thing, right?
Kind of, yeah, but with even less people. There's never anyone but him on screen.
Yeah, and I hear there's, of course, because of that, there's hardly any dialogue. I mean,
very little.
You know, he doesn't have a volleyball to chat with.
Nope, he doesn't yell at Wilson. He has a moment where he's screaming because a big container ship is floating by and he's screaming at it and waving. Mm-hmm. And then there's a moment early in the movie where he's trying to get a radio to work where you get a little bit of dialogue and then there's a tiny bit of narration at the top. But other than that, it's a very quiet film, although not quiet at all. And I found it riveting and I couldn't look away and I freaking loved it. So
cool.
I think people should watch that movie.
Cool.
And I totally forgot to follow up and tell you, I ended up seeing Nebraska finally.
Oh yeah. What'd you think?
I loved that movie.
Yeah, I thought you would. I mean, it's a very Scott Johnson movie, I think.
Yeah, the quirk in there is my brand of quirk, and yeah. I freaking loved it. I'm prepared to say it may have been my favorite movie that I didn't see that year.
Your favorite movie of last year that you didn't see?
That I didn't see. Even those I did see. I'm trying to think what I would have put ahead of it, and I can't really think of anything. I liked it that much. I thought it was really great.
How much of a new appreciation for Will Forte do you have now?
An enormous new appreciation for him. Like, he was perfectly cast.
It's like that and MacGruber.
Yeah, those are your two things. And your second thing is way better than your first thing. And also, the black and white was expertly used here.
Yeah.
Everything about it is...
Oh, God, his mom is hilarious.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Bruce Dern is insanely good.
Yeah.
He's blowing my mind the entire time he's on screen. So is she, the mom. They both deserved the nominations they got. They both deserved to win, to be honest. Kind of surprised he didn't win. I think he was amazing. It's awesome. I even like Saul in it. As the older brother.
Right.
I think it was character name. Yeah, Odenkirk's great in there. Everybody's great. The weird freaking neighborhood people are great. All the old people that are just actual old people are great.
Oh yeah, yeah. The strong chin dude from the bar.
Mm-hmm. Stacy Keach is amazing. Yeah. There's not a moment wasted. I loved it. I freaking loved it. Here's a question I got for you though. I don't understand. I know they're, you know, it's got a little salty language coming out of old people, right? I don't understand why that movie's rated R. I really don't get it. There's no reason that movie should be rated R.
Yeah, there really isn't. I mean,
had one F-bomb.
Right.
Had a couple of other, you know, swearies here and there, but
I would have no problem with Tristan watching that one.
No, I wouldn't have trouble with Nick watching,
you know,
it
when he's 14 or 13 or whatever. Yeah. You know, I mean, no problem at all.
Sure. I don't get it. That's PG-13 all the way. There are more harrowing, shocking moments, I think, in All Is Lost than there was in any of that movie. I don't understand the ratings board. I think it's jacked up.
I think so, too.
It's so weird.
It shouldn't be in the hands of like five Puritan pilgrims. You know?
How the first Matrix movie is R and the Lord of the Rings movies are not. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No kidding.
It doesn't make any sense. So someone make sense of that, will you? All right. We're moving right along here. I think it's time we call Daryl. What do you think of that?
I love that idea.
Okay.
Let's see what he has to say about all of this and more.
All right. I'm in with that. I'm down with that with the kids. Wait, is that Daryl? Yeah. Make sure I don't call somebody else. That'd be dumb. All right, here you go. Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
Hero Movie Podcast, the best source of superhero movie discussion in the multiverse. Each week, Adam, Sean, and Bruce talk exclusively about the only movies that matter. Seems like the only movies that are going to come out in 2015. Superhero movies. Mm. Hero Movie Podcast has it all. Find it all at heromoviepodcast.com or simply Hero Movie Podcast wherever you find podcasts.
Sounds good to me. I don't know why he is still ringing over there. What are you doing, Daryl? Oh, there he is. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Is that thing ringing late or something? It must be.
I don't know. It's weird.
Who knows? Maybe today you'll be all robot-y again.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. How'd you do that? Oh, you grabbed your neck.
Yeah, whack my neck.
I like it.
Wiggle that flap.
There you go. A little windy action. All right, Daryl, it's time for you to be here. It's time for you to be here and do Stump a Trek Nerd, which we always look forward to. It is time for Daryl to answer a hard trivia question about Star Trek. How do you feel about your chances today? Even without seeing the question sight unseen, how do you feel?
Well, I don't know. I bet George, what's his name? George Lucas can do that E really good when he flaps his turkey neck.
You think? Oh, man, he probably can.
He's got some bass to it, though, probably.
Oh, wait, I have a clip of it. Hold on, let's see. Yeah, here it is. George Lucas doing that with his neck, and that's how it came out. Yummy folk that he's still open. I'm just kidding.
Wow, it's got a little oompa oompa to it. Yeah. Well, there must be some bellows in there.
He got $4 billion for that Star Wars business. He probably spent it well on a band. Got a nice little band there. Daryl, it's good to have you on the show.
The acoustics in that thing must be fantastic.
They're incredible. Hey, Daryl, just real quick, as a preemptive measure, you brought your chips in from the car, right?
Yes, they are here.
All right, good. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Daryl, here's your question. It comes from a clip, and I'm going to play it now. Here's the clip, and then you'll guess which episode it comes from. Here you go.
Jim, the analysis of this so far is potassium 35%, carbon 18%, phosphorus 1.0, calcium 1.5. Jim, the crew didn't leave. They're still here.
What do you mean?
These white crystals, that's what's left of the human body when you take the water away, which makes up 96% of our bodies. Without water, we're all just 3 or 4 pounds of chemicals.
Really? So wait. If you take out all the water, we're just a pile of white crystals?
Yeah, that's a bit.
Flavor? Like Folger's flavor crystals?
Well, if you'll recall from the Batman 60s era Batman movie.
The movie. Yeah.
Everybody was reduced to a pile of colored crystals depending on what nation or race you were.
Yes.
That was so bad.
By the way,
dubious
that
science.
Batman movie on Blu-ray will be one of the giveaways that we're doing this weekend on the Coverthon.
Oh, shut up, dude.
We have 16 prize packages for people who donate the most in that hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guests are even bringing a couple things themselves. Lots of great stuff.
The only rule is if you win that movie, you have to run across town with it over your head as if it's going to explode.
Right. Run over to a church and then turn around and run over to a lady pushing a baby carriage and then turn around.
Yeah, hopefully a pack
sometimes
of nuns.
You just can't get rid of a bomb of a movie.
Wasn't there a pack of nuns at some point?
Yeah, there were nuns. Yeah. It was ducklings.
Yeah.
So stupid.
love that. That's the best thing.
No, it really is the best thing. You're right. Yeah. It's bad. And the shark repellent's pretty good too, but that movie's worth seeing if you haven't seen it. Yeah. All right, Daryl, so you've heard the clip, and here are your possible answers of which episode that comes from. Is it A, the Tholian Web, B, the Omega Glory, C, the Doomsday Machine, or D, Wink of an Eye? I feel like this is too easy because Daryl's seen these episodes so much. This is just an easy one.
Yeah. So although it is very early for me, so
is it?
We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll find out in just a moment, because now we dedicate some time to doing things in the morning we shouldn't, and that is eating crappy food.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
We have chips. Hold on. I got to slide back and grab it. There we go. Oh, who are these from, Brian?
These are from the fine folks. Oh, yeah, Barb Conway, the voice of Miss Mulra from The End of the Instance. She submits an audio thing to The Instance.
Yeah, she does a little clip there at the end, and we always play it every week. And these are interesting because these were contest winners.
That's right.
That won through this vote. What's votez? Oh, it's in Spanish. That's fine.
Probably French.
It's French.
Oh, is that French?
Canada, French.
Okay. Oh, this is probably Canadian then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Calgary, because this Randall Littman did the jalapeno mac and cheese, and Gloria Melanson did the cinnamon bun flavor. I'm terrified about both of these, to be honest. Less so with the jalapeno, but the cinnamon bun, that's a weird idea.
You know what? There was a sweet one in the American Lay's competition. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was cappuccino or mocha latte or something like that.
And they did those here? Like, I didn't realize this.
They did them here, yeah. Okay. So we had wasabi. What was it? Wasabi, ginger, cappuccino, mac and cheese, bacon mac and cheese, a chicken and waffles. Right.
All sound really good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we do the... you know what? Let's just do the weird one first. Let's do cinnamon bun.
Cinnamon bun.
Woo!
Because it's just,
yes, Cleo, I will lick this for you.
And there's just two of these, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, weird. It's weird to smell. Cinnamon potato.
Oh, my God. It smells awesome. By the way,
potato bun.
They make their own packaging, like packing protection.
Mm.
Right? You can put a pair of these in a box with no other protection, no packing peanuts or anything.
Yeah,
the chips inside completely fine because of all the air inside.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Mine was bulging with air. All right, here we go. Let's give it a shot. I'm kind of nervous. I don't know why. Yeah, they're like, these are dessert chips.
These are fantastic.
They're dessert chips.
Yeah, you wouldn't eat them with like an egg salad sandwich.
No, but you could eat them. When would you eat them? What's the appropriate thing? Just for no reason. Probably just to have a thing in the car or whatever.
With a cup of coffee, like right now. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. I guess you could breakfast these
coffee up. And potato chips.
All right. I don't know. This is like eating a banana and it tastes like steak.
Yeah, it is a little odd. It's
that
a little
was my
odd.
Favorite scene in The Matrix is when Joey Pants talked about eating the banana and it tastes like steak.
That's right. And he didn't care if it was real or not. Yeah. Oh, that guy in that movie. He's so great. When he shot Tank or Dozer, or I don't remember which one. Mm-hmm. Oh, good time. Spoiler, everybody. Spoiler.
Oh.
That's still a great movie. Those sequels are terrible, but that first movie, man, so good. All right. Well, there they are, and that's what those are. That's fine.
Thank you, Miss Mulgra.
Mm-hmm. I'll try the others tomorrow. We'll do the the other ones. It look a lot more like a thing I'd eat at lunch, you know?
And these look like they're made with actual real ingredients and not just a bunch of chemicals that taste like this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's actual sugar and
cinnamon.
Stuff.
Kind of a lousy Photoshop job on the mac and cheese bowl, though. Look where the cheese is dripping down. Like it's not even using the same unified shadow or lighting source.
You're right.
It's pretty bad. And the chip itself is kind of cut out badly. Like, there's no good blending there. Anyway.
Where? I want to see this.
It's on the front of it's on the mac and cheese bowl. The mac and cheese is fine. The bowl is fine, but they're clearly, we're not in the same shot together. This is all in post. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least the cinnamon one, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
What these remind me of is the... cinnamon crisps they used to have at Taco Bell, the really good ones.
Oh, yeah, those were good. They're like mini churros, these things. kind of in
a way. Well, when before that, they used to be like chips. They were tortilla chips that the that I would fry.
Oh, good times. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Great. Cleo says on Twitter, Iceworm, we need a colonoscopy mashup for Scott Johnson. Wailing Caverns walkthrough, Leslie Nielsen clips, inner space clips, etc. Great. You guys get right on that.
Yeah.
Great. Great.
Make that happen.
All right. Let's do this. Let's do this thing. What are we doing here? We're back to birthdays. Birthdays, Daryl. Birthdays.
I was going to yell the guy's character.
But then you're at work, and that would be bad.
I'm at work. Yes, exactly. So I'll just say the actor, Ricardo Montalban.
From Hell's Heart, I Stab at Thee, right?
Yeah. Hmm. And he would have been 94 today.
Well, that's...
Captain Kirk.
Kirk. He was great. I will have him. He what does he say? He taunts me.
He torments me.
No, what did he say?
No, that wasn't it.
He tests me.
Tests me. That's it.
Tasks me.
Tasks me.
Tasks me. He tasks me, and I will have him. Yeah. Yeah, he's great. Oh, man. Best part of that thing. Eating up every scene he's in. Mm-hmm. Well, good for him, although he's not here.
Corinthian leather.
That's right. He's off to Tattoo Land. What happened to his... how did he die? Do we know how he died? I know he had some trouble toward the end. He was in a wheelchair a lot.
Died of old.
Died of old? All right.
He died of...
Let's see here. I'll tell you.
The MS?
January 2009... You have a point if he does. Hold on. There we go. Death.
Heart failure.
88 years old. Complications from advancing age. I was right.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, his cause of death was later revealed to be congestive heart failure.
Yeah, but he was old.
See,
he was 88.
Complications from advancing age, according to his son-in-law.
He was 88 years old, and that's plenty of. That's a good long life right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He had 4 children. He had a brother named Carlos and a spouse named Georgiana Belzer. And he was married to her from 1944 until her death in 2007.
Wow.
One of the few Hollywood dudes to be married to one person for that long. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Wow, he really did the voice of the cow on Family Guy in 2008. The one that...
Oh, really?
Yeah, the sage
wisdom
cow.
The sage wisdom cow.
Well, he gives advice to Peter.
Let's see. 5 stages in his... Oh, this is interesting. When Montalban rolled onto a stage in his wheelchair, he repeated the 5 stages of the actor that he famously stated in several interviews and public speeches. Who is Ricardo Montalban? Get me Ricardo Montalban. Get me Ricardo Montalban's type. Get me young Ricardo Montalban. And who is Ricardo Montalban? Those are the 5 stages of the actor. That's weird. That's funny. Anyway.
Weird.
I feel like I miss him most of all, Scarecrow. All right. We're getting out of that now. Daryl, back to you. Back to you, Daryl. We got this here question here. It was one of these 4 options. The Tholian Web, Omega Glory, the Doomsday Machine, Wink of an Eye. Which one of those was Dr. McCoy using crappy science to talk to Kirk about?
Well, the only one where there was a pile of crystals was B.
B, the Omega Glory, you say. Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out. And that really doesn't hold up, right? Like, if you put us in, like, a area where all we had left was, you know, take away all our water, we're not just crystals, right? That doesn't make sense.
No, I think we figured out at some point it was 80% crystals.
Oh. All right, great. Well, I just want to be... I like the idea, though. You know, like, just... Boil me down to a make a diamond out of me so my kids can carry me around on a ring or something. I like that idea. Sure, all right, well, let's find out if you're right about that answer. Is he? Whoa! Don't push that. Is he right? Come on! What the heck!
Congratulations! You're a winner.
That was artificial. Yay! Pregnant pause there. The crew beams over to the USS Exeter, only to find the crew reduced to piles of minerals. They beam down to the planet below where they meet up with the rest of the crew and their people. I'm not reading homies. I'm not going to do it. The captain of the Exeter says they'll die if they beam them back to their ship. Daryl, you've done it. You've done it. You're now 2 for... Wait, did you... What happened yesterday? I can't remember.
I think I got it wrong yesterday.
Oh, that's right. So you're 50-50 on the week so far. Tomorrow you have another chance. And tomorrow's the big chance, because if you don't get it right tomorrow, you're screwed, because Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we're not having shows that day. Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and on The Grumpy Cast.
Oh, that means we're done already.
Yeah, we're already done. Well, not quite. You got a little game for us or something, right?
Yep.
Star Trek thing, or pet.
Star Trek pet or actual pine tree.
Pet or pine tree. This is my favorite category.
It really is. It's really good, yeah.
Here's your theme. I think we have a theme for you. Here you go.
Both of you will be hanged from those chains. The curse of the castle, you know.
Oh, all right. Great.
Curse of the castle.
You know. All right, lay it on us.
Livingston.
Livingston. Oh, my God. That totally sounds like a pet name.
And it also sounds like some fancy name for a tree.
For a pine tree. The Livingston pine.
Ah, the Livingston pines. They
lovely foliage.
Nothing like a cool breeze through the Livingston pines.
Livingston pine.
But then again, hey, Livingston, come get your milk. It's your milk.
I say we flip a Henry coin.
Yeah. I really could go either way. This is the most go either way we've had in a while.
Yeah.
Do you have a Henry coin?
I do have a Henry coin right here.
All right, roll it.
So obey Henry on one side, fear Steve on the other side.
Okay.
We'll say that Pine Tree is the Henry side.
Okay.
Fear Steve. So we're going to say a pet name.
Pet name from Star Trek.
Oh, Henry. Well, you should obey Henry. It's Captain Picard's fish.
Oh, what? I didn't know he had a name for his fish.
Yeah. The one that's behind him? Livingston?
Yep.
Is that the one where when Riker becomes a caveman, he flips everybody off because he's leaning on it? Is that the same fish?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's the best. all right. Very good for us. So bad for Daryl, good for us. All right.
Very good.
Yeah.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
Scott and. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I jumped the gun there. Oh, and wow. It's brought to you by. Sorry. The following. Hi, Scott and Brian. I'm running the 2015 Boston Marathon with the Credit Union Kids at Heart Group. This will be my first attempt at a marathon, and I couldn't imagine a better reason to run. All the money raised from my run will go directly to the research at the Boston Children's Hospital for the following diseases: Moyamoya disease, Sturge-Weber syndrome, and genetic causes of brain tumors. None of this money will be used for operational expenses. Please help me reach my goal and to help with the research of these diseases. You can find out more about me and my sponsor patient as well as the diseases that will be researched at tiny.cc/DanRunsAMarathon. That's tiny.cc/DanRunsAMarathon.
That's a good link. I like that link. It's good.
Yeah.
The I got a list here. You like lists, so.
I do like lists.
That's why I did it.
It looks like this is a good Colorado connection here.
Big Colorado. If you live in Seattle, same for you folks. The five easiest Thanksgiving Day side dishes that you can cook using weed.
So it's going to be like cranberries and weed.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, even
mashed potatoes and weed.
That sounds about right. Dude, these two bags of chips would be great, like Thanksgiving fodder for somebody who's into weed. It's easy. So it says here, even if you don't smoke weed, it's easy to see why Thanksgiving is a great holiday for people who like marijuana generally. And here is a list of the things you can make. For example, oh, geez, this name, ganja gravy. Here's your ingredients. Turkey, chicken, or vegetable stock. 6 tablespoons of canna butter. Canna butter, so that's cannabis butter.
Yeah, cannabis butter, yeah. When Snoop Lion cries, he cries ganja gravy.
Well, I guess that's the only bit in here, because the rest of it, the onions, the rosemary, the sage, all this other stuff, no, that's the pot. I guess it's
really,
just the butter.
Yeah, it's totally like, let's just take a real recipe and just throw in crushed herb.
All right, well, that looks all right. It says optional. If you're not cooking the turkey or using the juices in a non-medical gravy, just simply add vinegar to the gravy and simmer for 10 to 15 minutes. So I guess you have to be careful about how you cook it. Let's see. I don't know. This gives like real instructions on all this stuff. Yeah. All right, here's one for you. Roasted garlic and Mary Jane mashed potatoes. let's find out what
it's again. It's the can of butter.
Is it the butter again?
Yeah. Let's see here. Important. If you haven't made your canna butter yet, stop what you're doing and read this awesome guide on how to make it. You're going to need about an ounce or an ounce and a half. Don't worry. It doesn't need to be the greatest strain. You're really going to need the volume though.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
Don't spend your money on good pot. Just get a lot of it.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Cornbread puffins, not muffins, puffins. Again, can of butter.
Uh-huh.
Boy, it's going to bug me if all these are just the butter. Yeah, they
can't. Right, exactly. Kind of it really should be like...
hey, why don't you just make a normal thing and put this instead of regular butter? They've made a website. They've made an entire post out of cannabis butter.
Well, they're hoping that the people who read these recipes will forget as they go through them that the last recipe also had cannabis butter.
You're right.
Oh, this one has cannabis butter, man.
No way, man.
Let's look at the next one. Oh, this one has cannabis butter, man. We should totally make this.
Hey, dude, we should totally stock up on cannabis butter, man.
Sourdough stuffing. I'm disappointed they didn't give it a cute name. That also has, all right, same thing, butter. It's the butter. Here you go. Green bean hasherole.
Go.
With fried onions. Let's see stretched, what it's got.
Stretched for that one.
Oh, Brian.
Oh, what's this made with?
Cannabis butter.
Oh.
Some would call it canna butter. That's unusual. I haven't heard that one yet. Yeah, that whole list is cannabis butter. What a dumb article. That's a dumb list. I was hoping it'd be, because I saved it, because I wanted to be surprised as we went. I didn't read through it. I wanted to say, right. Oh, look at this. This turkey is stuffed with bud, you know, straight up buds or, right. You know, whatever. Or the turkey itself smoked it while it was in the oven. They put a little joint in his mouth or something, or his neck
hole. Well, maybe there's something you have, like if you cook it wrong, you cook the THC out of it and you basically.
Fair point.
Ruin all the effects that you would have had for it. So I'm looking at this. I'm going to look at this cannabis butter.
Mm-hmm.
How to make cannabis oil in your slow cooker.
Oh, my.
Oh, look at that.
I assume you can buy it done, right? Can't you go to one of these stores and just get a cannabis butter, a block of cannabis butter? Or do you have to always make it yourself?
You can. A lot of these places do sell edibles and they have like marinara sauce with marijuana in it and cannabis butter and...
What do they call marinara sauce with cannabis butter in it?
I don't know. I don't know if there really is a name for it.
Marijuana area. all right.
Interesting.
Well, whatever.
Oh, well, like their little cornucopia horn filled with pot in that last photo on the
that's pretty
the
good.
Cannabis butter article.
That's what I expected more of. More fun like that. But no, it's all cannabis butter. It's fine. Whatever. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Also in the news, and I kind of had a Twitter exchange with somebody about this. There are people who think there's this new photo from Mars that think that they're seeing a skull on the planet, a giant skull.
Of course.
It's a rock, you guys. It's a freaking rock.
Is there a photo in here? I haven't seen
it doesn't even look real. Like, it doesn't even look like a skull. It just looks like a rock. And they've got a poll on here that says, what do you think? The options are, I see a skull. I got a rock.
We're watching
38% of people think it's a skull.
Oh God, really? That I look at this and I think it might even be two rocks, like one slightly in front of a more round rock.
Yeah. It's bunk. People piss me off. Where's Jesus in this photo? Because that's what you're really looking for.
Yeah, right. So Tina and I are watching the show called The Mystery of Oak Island.
Yeah.
There's this island and...
Sorry, that was website man talking.
Oh, website man. able to slowly load with a circular spinning bar.
Hell of a power. Anyway, so you and Tina,
yes. Called The Mystery of Oak Island, which is this island. I want to say it's up near Nova Scotia. And they've discovered this pit, right? This really deep pit. And as people are going further and further down this pit in the old days, when they first discovered it, they're finding things that should not be there, like these wooden planks and block of stone with strange etchings in it and stuff.
Yeah.
And as they're digging down, they also find out that it's been booby trapped and all of this ocean water comes in and floods the whole tunnel. So this guy sends down a camera to kind of look and see what else might be down there, what other treasure. And they're going over his video in the show and saying, oh, and he thought this looked like a treasure chest. And he thought this looked like a headless body. And and when they take away the little superimposed outline to show you what he thought it was, it just looks like a pile of dirt.
It's all bull crap. Like here, let me extend this conversation by sharing with you this. This is from the all.com, which is theawl.com. 12 things currently being sold on eBay because they kind of look like Jesus. a dyed egg at Easter. Here, let me share this link because it's visual as hell here. here, chat room, and Brian, you can see that there. Okay. Blessed Jesus, blessed world, Tostito corn chip anomaly.
Well, somebody painted that egg.
Yeah, but I think that's just random happenstance.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that was. I mean, that's a real lucky shot. And if you look at that other side of the face, it's not a face at all.
Right. Current bid, 99 cents.
Yeah. Pretty good deal.
From Mason, Missouri. Mississippi.
Supposedly these corn chips look like him. I don't see it.
You see it? No, it looks more like a pineapple.
Yeah. I don't understand that one at all. The Tortilla Christ after that there. Starting bid, $4.99.
I can kind of see that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. But again, it's because we are programmed as human beings.
Yeah.
To see certain patterns. And when something mimics a pattern, we kick in recognition. The problem is some of us take that too far and think that everything looks like whatever. There's sweet potato Phrygis, which is supposed to be Jesus on a cross.
That's what we're looking for with that marijuana article.
Yep. Black and white photo. What else? Jesus overlooking the Rockies. Oh. You got to look at that one. Look at the little rock formation in the center. It's right in the center.
Oh, okay. You see that? Oh, interesting. It's, yeah. Kind of again, creepy, you know, actually. once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Huh. The miracle toaster. I mean, again, it's just lucky happenstance.
That looks like, all right, now there's things you can do to bread to make it toast special.
Sure,
right?
You
to
can.
Toast,
sure.
Like, yeah. Make other parts of it turn crispy faster.
Yeah.
That looks like it was done that way. Because there's some really weird striations or whatever that those are on that bread.
I also think it's funny because we don't actually have any pictures, like there weren't photographs being taken when Jesus walked the earth, so we don't really know what he looked like, yet we're all convinced that that's him right there. You know what I mean? That could be Santana, dude. I mean, who's to say that isn't 70s
right,
rocker
exactly, yeah,
Santana.
Stevie Ray Vaughan just...
What's this one? Fishbone Jesus?
Fishbone Jesus.
Come on. Really? That one's pushing a little far.
Description. Do you see the image of Jesus? It's hard to explain this one. It is said Jesus makes his presence known. I believe it is here on this bone.
From the actual eBay description.
Yes.
Huh.
Why would that rock is kind of crazy.
Yeah, the rock is kind of, that's pretty cool.
Because there's even like another little seated figure on the... on the side, too.
Yeah.
Weird.
I don't see this Jesus and Mary Wood one. Where I don't see that one. But the starting
bid, $9,999.99 for that rock.
Yeah. Oh, you want to be worse.
Current bid, zero.
starting bid, 78 grand for the wood one below it.
Oh, Jesus and Mary Wood.
Yeah. I don't see the...
our new neighbors, Jesus and Mary Wood.
Oh, have you met the Woods yet now, have you? We're going to take a nice casserole over to them. I don't see that one at all. Where am I looking? That looks like a piece of wood to me.
Yeah.
Where
really
are they?
Does. I don't see.
I don't see anything. That is bunko.
Oh, God. And this is one of those people who capitalize every word in their description on Twitter. Like it's the title of a
I hate it.
Fiona Apple album.
Will Smith's kid does that. Jaden.
Does he? Jaden in his
Jaden
tweets?
Smith does that. Slate Christ. I would argue it looks more like a vagina.
Kind of does.
Yeah, I think that whole thing's real stupid.
Opening bid, $100,000.
It's what people do when they see a thing. I get it. I've had that happen. It's why you cloud watch. It's an age-old phenomenon. We just need to come to grips with it, and everyone needs to calm down.
Description. It is a naturally formed image of Jesus. Even see his feet crossed. Make your offer today, 4 exclamation points.
Even see his feet crossed. Because clearly, what would be a priceless thing that you would want to keep forever, you'll just go ahead and hawk it on eBay.
How you know it's Jesus? Because his feet are crossed.
That's right. And the higher the starting bid, clearly the more real it is.
And the halo around his head could be a clitoris.
It's killing me. All right. Hey, look at this HelloFresh sponsoring the show today. HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com. Let's see what they're doing this week. HelloFresh.com. Meant to have this up, but it's so fast to go, it won't take long at all. Here we go. This week.
All right.
This week, Thanksgiving week. Let's see what they have on offer. They've got lemony chicken risotto with asparagus. Meatball parmigiana. over buttery linguine.
Buttery.
Roasted salmon with French lentil salad, lamb and butternut squash tagine.
Tagine.
I don't know how you say it. Mushroom ragu over crispy polenta cakes. Oh, oh, all of these look really good. You can get these and what they have coming up next week, which is showing up as, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. Steak and Brussels sprout stir fry. Oh. Oh, all right. Here's all you want to do. You want to go over there. You want to see if they deliver to you. And if they do, you pick one of these recipes made by real chefs. They send it to you, all the ingredients, farm fresh, at your door. And then you make the thing in 30 minutes or less. That's HelloFresh.com. Use the code MORNINGSTREAM. That's one word, MORNINGSTREAM, for 50% off. All right. That's your first order at 50% off. Do it today.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
It's brought to you by the Coverthon, coming up this weekend. 24 hours of cover songs and interviews, including the first couple of hours with the Film Sack crew. Yes, check it out. It's going to be the Coverthon starting at 10 a.m. on Friday, November 29th. Lots and lots of prizes to give away, including this right here. This is an I Fight Dragons dog tag USB set that has all the music I Fight Dragons has ever released.
No way.
Yes, right here in my hot little hands.
My daughters want that, I can tell you right now.
Courtesy of Hammond Chamberlain, who sent over a bunch of stuff to give away. We'll have lots of WoW stuff. We have books, music books, CDs, DVDs, lots of great stuff.
He's a generous bastard, that guy.
He is.
In the nicest way possible there, Hammond.
Of course. Of course.
Star Wars Episode 7 trailer, teaser trailer, is going to premiere in theaters on Black Friday. Black Friday just got a little crazier. StarWars.com on Monday released a list of 30 theaters across North America slated to show the 88-second teaser trailer of Star Wars The Force Awakens beginning on Friday. Featuring much of the cast of the original trilogy, The Force Awakens, directed by J.J. Abrams, will be the first installment in the franchise's since 2005's Revenge of the Sith. Remember that thing?
I do remember that thing.
And the first, think about that. That movie came out before touchscreen phones, before the iPhone, before Android.
Before smartphones.
Yeah.
I had my Palm Trio in my pocket.
Yep. I probably had a flip phone, flippy phone. Piece of garbage.
Snake on my Palm Trio.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dope Wars.
Yep. Probably.
Did you ever have Dope Wars on your phone?
I did. Well, on one phone. Before, yeah. I want to say I had a Trio for a minute. It may have been that. For a hot minute, I had that phone. I
wonder if there's a Dope Wars for iOS.
Probably. Or a million ripoffs.
Such a dumb game, but it was great.
Yeah, it was great for the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is going to be showing this Friday. So my question to you, Brian Ibbett, are you going to see a movie Friday? To see the trailer?
No, we're probably going to go see Hunger Games, whatever, on Wednesday, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
But none of the theaters that they list for Friday, for Black Friday, are anywhere near me. Mm. Like it's a lot of Los Angeles. Let's see here.
Yeah, let's look this up.
I take that back. The AMC Westminster 24 will be showing it.
In Utah, the Salt Lake City Cinemark. That's wrong. I don't know why they wrote it that way.
The movie theater is so nice, they named it twice.
The Cinemark 24 is actually, that one in West Jordan is really nice. I'm not far from that, actually.
No, you're not.
I can just ride up the road.
What movie do you have to sit through to see it? I guess I wonder how many people, like, you know, it's going to be something like Hunger Games or when does the new Lord of the Rings come out?
That comes out, is that?
In a couple weeks, right?
That's not this weekend, is it? No. Can't be. Because I originally heard, oh yeah, they'll show that trailer during the new Hobbit
Lord
movie.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
But
right.
I'm like,
or Hobbit, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But I'm like, come on, that's not coming out yet. Let's look it up here. So this weekend we have an opening.
Oh, here it goes, says that it is The Hobbit.
Really?
I was going to say, they're going to make you watch Dumb and Dumber 2.
Well, what the heck?
Which,
hold on.
Which I kind of do want to see.
Opening soon. Yeah, but that can't be right. Movie's opening this weekend, okay?
Okay.
What's going on this page? Okay.
Yeah, Curtis 15 says December 15th or 17th is when the Hobbit comes
out. Okay, that's right. The Penguins of Madagascar, Horrible Bosses 2, The Imitation Game, The Babadook, which I which is some horror movie. Before I Disappear, The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness, Antarctica, A Year on the Ice, The Immortals. I mean, stop me if you hear when you think is Star Wars worthy.
Yeah.
Touch the Wall, Women Who Flirt, R.E.M. by MTV. What the heck? R.E.M. by MTV. All right. And Aftermath. I don't see anything opening this weekend that appears to be good enough for Star Wars. Maybe they're just going to put it through random stuff. I don't know. You know what? I'll bet that Penguins movie is where they stick it. Because that's
Madagascar
be huge,
Penguins? That seems like the closest thing, doesn't it?
Hey, that Babadook's doing like almost 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Jeez. What's going on there? Hold on. Oh, Babadooks? Yeah. Everyone loves this. Yeah. It's a horror movie about some... I saw a trailer for it, and it just looked like yet another horror movie that looked kind of dumb. But 96%? That's insane. All right, well. The Babadook relies on real horror rather than cheap jump scares and boasts a heartfelt, genuinely moving story to boot. Audience score 93, tomato meter 96. Maybe we all need to see The Babadook.
I've never even heard of this.
Oh.
I heard that Kirk Cameron has a Kirk Cameron... Super Jesus Saves Christmas or something.
What? Really?
There's some Kirk Cameron movie.
Awesome.
When we went and saw Interstellar, I noticed on the marquee there was some Kirk Cameron movie. There it is. Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas.
Oh, Lord. Here it is. 8%. Wow, let's see. As a movie, Saving Christmas is not good, but as a teaching aid for congregants about having their fruitcake and eating it too, sure, why not? Go nuts, guys, it says. Cameron's preferred tool of engagement is a pry bar applied to your eyelids with an indelicate hand. Maybe the least artful holiday film ever. Even devout born-again Christians will find this hard to stomach. I'm going to play the trailer.
Oh, please do.
Okay, here we go. Come on, trailer. All right, here's his smiling face. Looking good there, Kirk. All right. Come on, what's the hold up?
Do you ever feel like Christmas has been hijacked?
Oh,
hey,
shite.
Hey, where's Christian? How's he doing? Is he okay?
Oh, he's fine, really. He's just not into Christmas this year, that's all.
There's a character named Christian.
This looks terrible. And I don't mean it just sounds bad. Like, this looks like video home video. This is really bad. This is bad. Nobody should watch this. And also, this idea that someone's taking away Christmas is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Let's move on. Brian.
Yes.
Five things that Katy Perry should do at the Super Bowl halftime. By the way, was it us or was it not us who predicted Katy Perry for Super Bowl? I want to say we did.
Yeah, I think we did. We did say that she's like the perfect candidate, right? The perfect level of entertainment for something like
pretty
that.
Pretty sure we did. Well, here are the five things that she should that should be in the Katy Perry Super Bowl halftime show. This according to Houston.CBSLocal.com. You know, famous for nothing. Here's what she should do. There should be jetpacks, it says. All right.
Of course.
It says that there should be references to the Nyan Cat, which you're probably familiar with right here. Or Nyan Cat. I would say Nyan Cat. That thing needs to be referenced.
I can't believe this isn't a BuzzFeed list.
Yeah, it's weird, right? This is like some local CBS affiliate site. Brett Favre should be there somehow. I don't know why that is. They don't explain it either. Justin Timberlake should be there. Should pop in and do a little something. I don't know if they want another malfunction moment because she's got the crazy boob shooters all the time.
Well, it's funny. That's Hemi the Freak pinned it right on the nose. He said, what are the things we want from a Katy Perry Super Bowl halftime show? A wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, I guess we do. Or someone does. Also says whipped cream. No one has ever used whipped cream at the halftime show. It'd be a great innovator. People that run into the field could have ice cream sundaes and Gallagher-style trash bags, and she could just shoot it out of these cans from her boob contraptions.
Right. Did you ever notice that one of her whipped cream cans is a little bit larger than the other?
I did. Why is that? Look at that. It kind of is, isn't it? Is it?
I'm kidding.
It looks like it, though. Look at
it
the left
look
one.
Like the one, her right. Yeah.
Yeah, her right, my left. Oh, weird. Yeah. You kind of threw me for a loop there. What's this Brett Favre video? Hold on.
Hi, I'm Brett Favre. Thinking back to all those years I played in the NFL, I was constantly in the spotlight and always perfectly groomed.
But since I retired, I kind of let myself grow. Hair's gotten long, beard's a little scruffy, but now I'm thinking, it's time to get my groom back.
When it's time to get your groom back, get it back from head to toe with Microtouch.
Okay.
Is that Brett Favre or Kris Kristofferson?
It's Brett Favre, but it looks like him. You're not wrong about the look. Weird. He basically
That's bizarre.
Looks,
he looks like Kris Kristofferson.
If you guys ever want to know what my brother Mark looks like, he looks like Brett Favre, shaved though.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it just looks just like him. It's a dead ringer for my brother's face.
Interesting.
Okay. It's my older brother. That's it for that. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's program. Go get a pair of sweet Tweaked Audio earbuds. Do it today and do it on the cheap. Make some discount. Have a discount. How about that?
Make some discount.
Make some discount.
Save money time.
Have good money time saving. 33% off by using the code STREAM at tweakedaudio.com. When we come back, we'll have the fitness geek here. He'll have stuff to say. No jury today. He's on a plane, currently on a flight as we speak. Will not be here today. Might pop in tomorrow. We'll see. But we have emails, got some other stuff, so stay tuned and hang tight for all of that. Brian, in the meantime, let's play some music. What do you got?
Certainly. All right, well, this one, it's funny. This one was requested by two separate people. First, Liz Laraga requested this for last week for her boyfriend's birthday. So happy birthday, Milo, and Liz says hi. Also, John Bauer wrote, "Hi, Bird and Stuffing. I came across two covers of Do I Want to Know by the Arctic Monkeys I'd like to share. I like the first one a bit more, but I'll let Brian choose which one he'd like to play. If for some reason you can't play either, please play the Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch song by Darius Rucker. It always makes me think of nice cabooses. Love the Mendoza, though. John Bauer from Pennsylvania."
That's amazing. That thing really was a big hit. People.
It really was, yeah.
People like it a lot.
And Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch from Pennsylvania.
I kind of went down a rabbit hole, though, after that. I went and listened to a whole bunch of his straight-up country music, and it's pretty good. It's not bad.
It is good. He's got – the guy, dude has an amazing voice.
Yeah, he really does, and some of it's, like, genuinely quality stuff. His Christmas album's real strong. I think he's fine. Nothing wrong with that guy.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, so this is Do I Want to Know, recorded by Churches, originally performed by Arctic Monkeys. They recorded this for the Like a Virgin – version thing down at the Triple J offices. I can't talk all of a sudden.
It's all right. You get
these
my
Lay's potato chips are messing with my mouth. So, all right. This is Church's Like a Virgin Live. Do I Want to Know? Originally by the Arctic Monkeys.
All right. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Everyone stay tuned.
Shift the tide that sticks around like something in your teeth and some aces up your sleeve. I had no idea that you're in deep. I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep? 'Cause there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat till I fall.
Do I wanna know
if this feeling flows both ways?
Should I see it go?
Should I hope that you'd stay?
Maybe we both know
that the nights were mainly made for saying things that you can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you. If your heart's still open, and if so, I wanna know what time it just simmer down and pucker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp of trying.
But before we go too far, let's take a moment and have a look at just what the internet is and what it takes to start surfing through cyberspace. You may already be a net surfer and you may want to skip this section, but if you are just starting out, we suggest you spend a few minutes getting familiar with some of the most common internet terms. You'll need a device to access the online world. That device is a computer, with at least 386 power and 8 megabytes of RAM.
Look what he did to my face!
Better than a strawberry Pop-Tart blowtorch. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. I got to thank somebody. Oh, crap, I lost their name. Somebody sent me a huge playlist of 80s and 90s computer technical videos.
Oh, nice.
And that's where that came from. And they're all redonkulous, like King Commando style stuff. It's awesome. All right, well, nice. So there's a likelihood you'll hear a bunch of that on the show moving forward.
Will they all have that ear-piercing squeal behind them?
I hope not. That one is like some horrible VHS audio artifact or something that just
right.
I couldn't get rid of. So I tried. Sorry, everyone. Hello.
Oh, no, it's not nearly as bad as I'm making it sound.
Man, you're making it sound so bad. All right.
I make it sound horrible.
Let's add Bill to this. Bill Duran it is.
You know him. You love him. Bill Duran.
Yeah. See? You know what we need, though? I haven't done this in a while. Hold on. Pull this up right here. All right. This isn't really his theme, but I'm playing anyway.
You got a $50 bill?
All right. Bill, are you there?
That is me.
Nice to talk to you, hear from you, have you, bring you in, have you part of the family, bring you on Tuesdays, have you talk about cool stuff about fitness and being a geek and living that lifestyle and somehow, you know, still staying strong and eating right and living well. It's all good stuff, man.
Yeah, and that's why they call me $50 bill.
That's right, $50 bill, yo.
Actually, if I wanted to be really hipster, I'd be $2 bill. Those are like, we don't use those anymore.
Even rarer, yeah.
Here's another one.
But there's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Yeah, that's right.
There is.
Mm-hmm. I got a lot of Bill. I have a lot of stuff.
Mama like that, Billy.
I'll say.
There you are when you're little.
Bill.
Yeah, here's one.
Gonna crack my knuckles and jump for joy. I got a clean bill of health from Dr. McCoy.
Awesome.
That's even more appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's always
Bill
and
health.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like he's doing that, but he's not.
Yeah.
All right. So, Bill.
I thought you were doing that live.
Isn't that weird? No. So
why
weird.
Why are you laughing?
Bill, what's going on today? What's on your mind? What do you bring to the table? What's going on?
Thanksgiving's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working hard on the old 4-hour body routine that I talked about last week. And I've decided that, of course, Thursday instead of Saturday is going to be my cheat day.
Yay.
So anyone who's on a routine where you have one cheat day a week, I recommend you go ahead and move that to Thursday this week because it's going to happen anyway.
Mm.
Yeah. But that means you must remain stalwart through the weekend. That's going to be the challenge.
So when let's just establish real quick. A cheat day is like a day where pretty much anything goes, right? Within some reason, right? Like, you can't tell people that your cheat day can include, you know, 2 full turkeys and a microphone or whatever, you know, like you can't just pig out, just going to make yourself sick and, you know, that's bad for your body too, right?
For me though, it's with the particular diet I'm on right now, there are a lot of restrictions on the type of food. For example, I could eat chicken and lettuce until I'm blue in the face. I'm not going to overdo it. So portion control isn't an issue with my current diet.
Yeah.
On my cheat day, maybe worry a little bit about portion control, but you go ahead and have that fried chicken, have the things that you're craving that aren't included on whatever your particular diet is.
Yeah. Well,
and that's what I'll be doing on Thursday.
So for me, I had this kind of, this has become a question around here because we had 2 Thanksgivings over the weekend. We had one at my in-laws and then one at my side of the family. And then we're doing it again on Thursday and we're doing some things differently. It's not going to be a big traditional turkey fest on Thursday because we already did that twice. So we're thinking we'll do something slightly different, but that's been a real challenge, right? Because the food's amazing and it's all everywhere and it's twice over the weekend and again on Thursday. And I'm finding myself trying to pace myself through that in a way that doesn't, you know, make me a giant fat guy again. And we'll see how it goes. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for families where they've got a lot of sort of mixed visits. They've got a lot of family in town. They got to eat 3-4 times. And before you know it, you've used up every cheat day for the rest of the year.
Or just focus on the turkey. Turkey's nice and lean.
Yeah. I thought we were eating turkey at one of these things, and then everyone informed me after. I kept saying, man, this turkey is so different. It's so good. It's so tender and all this. And someone said, I found out they were chickens. They were never turkeys. Yeah, it was an odd thing to see, but it was a big giant plate of carved, what I thought was turkey. It turned out to be chicken, and it was just fine.
Mom growing up had a pig named Cynthia. And one year for Christmas, they had a ham. And then during dinner, someone said, hey, I didn't see Cynthia out in the yard.
Oh, no.
You got to be kidding me.
Turns out they're eating their pig.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And everyone lost their appetite.
You took one bite and went.
Yeah.
And then everybody was, that was fine from there. So hold on a minute, though. That doesn't seem, was it their pet or did they always intend to kill it and eat it?
I think that they intended to kill it and eat it, but the children had named it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
But they did it themselves. Man, you know what they should have done? I know this sounds terrible, but honestly, I think if more kids knew where their food came from, they'd be at least appreciate it more. Yeah. And have them watch Cynthia get slaughtered and cut up to be cooked, it might have been a thing to see. Well, whatever. If I was a parent, I wouldn't do that either, but...
No, it's kind of horrifying.
Yeah, it's bad. But back in the day when I was, I don't know, probably 12, I had a friend up the road who all of their meat that they had was always from animals on their small little farm. Mm-hmm. So he would go out. I would go with him. His mom would say, all right, we need 2 chickens for today and for the weekend. So get out there, get a chicken. And I didn't know what that entailed. I just assumed that meant, you know, in a way I kind of thought, oh, there'll be a walk-in freezer and he'll just walk out with a chicken. Nope, he had to go out. He had to chase down a chicken. And then they ran. They were crazy runners. Caught a chicken, held him down on a block, cut its head off, let it run around again and bleed out.
Really does run around like a chicken.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. It really did. For a while, too. That was the freaky part.
Mm-hmm.
Time seemed to stand still a little bit for me there. I was kind of horrified. Then he had to pluck the chicken. So he had to pull all the feathers out of this carcass chicken. Then took it in the house. The mother did the gutting part to take out all the bits you don't want. Kind of like a fish, I guess. And then they had chicken that night and they invited me over for dinner. And I remembered saying, no, I remember saying, I'm not going to be able to come over there to have dinner. And I don't have a good excuse other than that was horrifying. And I don't want to eat that bird. So, you know, it's just easy to forget. It's so neatly packaged now, you know? It's like you have no idea what's happening with your food. Anyway, well, that's good. So, cheat days, everybody. Use one.
You got it. Use it this week.
Yeah.
Also, I've got other progress from this whole 4-hour body thing I'm working on.
Yeah.
I took some before measurements, not just weight. Now, he recommends doing body fat percentage, but as we've talked about in the past, it's kind of hard to get a good, consistent number on that.
Mm.
If you read the book, he'll tell you how to do that. But what I did was just a measuring tape, like a flexible ribbon for measuring. And I measured a bunch of different body places, both biceps, my waist at the belly button, which is, of course, the most disappointing one. The waist below the widest part below your waist, so your hips and butt, both your thighs. Then you take all of those numbers and you add them up. You end up with a big total number. The cool thing about that is, when small changes happen all over your body, the total number will go down. You may have little changes here and there that aren't as satisfying, but that total number starts going down. And then when you look at the individual places, you can see where you're losing that weight, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. That's good. Is this all photos as well or just measurements? Like,
I took some before photos too.
Yeah.
And you will see them if I ever have good after photos.
All right. Well, for now, you're going to keep those close to the vest, eh?
Yeah. Right. Until I have some progress to show off.
Fair enough.
But other than that, I've been adding parts of this 4-hour body routine a little bit at a time. So the diet, I am on totally. I got that. No problem. Eating lots of beans.
Yeah.
Wife's not complaining yet. We're good there. Yep. And I got a kettlebell. I talked about doing kettlebell exercises. I got one. It's 45 pounds. It's gigantic. And in the guide, he talks about one particular exercise with that giant freaking weight. So I did that yesterday. This works your posterior chain, all the muscles down your back, and also your legs and your arms. Because I did 3 sets yesterday, a set of 20, a set of 10, and a set of 20, and it just about ruined me.
Yeah, I'll bet. Hold on, there's just one, though, so you're doing like one arm at a time kind of thing?
No, both arms at the same time. It's like it's kind of like a combination between a squat, and then you're sort of using your hips to push the weight forward. It swings it out up in front of you, and you're pulling it up with your arms, and then it swings back down, and you're catching it with your arms and your thighs again.
Oh, okay.
And instantly I could tell, it's weird, you would think like your arms would be really tired, but no, my hamstrings, like inner thigh, legs were really feeling it right away.
Mm.
So that was really cool, a cool new exercise to try out.
Well, I'm interested in that because I need doctor, the DR says no matter what comes of all this testing, he's recommending all these like core exercise ideas.
Mm.
And that sounds like one that would definitely work the core.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. You can get kettlebells on Amazon with Prime. It's free shipping, which is vital.
Which is crazy. I mean, think about how much those, 45 pounds is what it weighs.
Yeah.
That's crazy. They just send that for free, man. Crazy.
The couple things I still haven't added from the routine are, I haven't tried any of the supplements he recommends yet. I have to order a bunch of those. And also, he recommends doing cold baths. Apparently, one of the factors of swimmers being so lean and burning so many calories is they spend 4 hours a day in a cold pool. For me, though, I'm a little apprehensive about turning the shower to its coldest setting in the morning. Yeah. I don't know if I could do that to myself.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll try. I may try. I may report back next week and tell you how my cold shower in the winter went. But maybe not.
That sounds rough. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Not be into that.
So, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? You got family in town, or are you doing something on your own? What are you doing?
We do we're calling it Friendsgiving with a bunch of my pals who live out here on the West Coast. A lot of us are from the East Coast. We all moved out here, so we all get together, sans family, and have a good old party. So we're going to have a thing at my house. We got
lovely.
A turkey in the fridge.
Yeah.
Going to brine that sucker.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. You're not deep frying it?
No, that's hazardous.
Hazardous and kind of good, but gross too.
It's so good though. We've got a deep fried turkey before, and it's so good.
I have.
It's crispy on the outside.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Can't eat that anymore. I don't think I can't do the oil. I don't know.
No, I'm doing
cannabis oil.
Alton Brown. Alton Brown has a recipe called Romancing the Bird. If you look that up, find that episode of Good Eats.
Yeah.
watch Romancing the Bird. You brine your turkey, you roast it. It's so good. That's what I'm doing.
Your wiener doesn't come in contact with the bird, right? Just making sure.
I mean, if I'm lucky.
only on American Horror Story.
Oh, okay, great. Wonderful. Well, that sounds great, man. Real quick before you go, Jeff Bezos laughing like a crazy person compilation. Okay. I'd like to play this for everybody, and I don't know why I'm playing it. There's one. There's number two. And number three. Wow. Bezos can laugh. I did that because of Prime. Anyway, hey, it's Bill Duran, punishprops.com. Anything else going on we should mention before you go?
Sure, yeah. I'm probably going to have some sort of deal on Black Friday on my store. I sell, you know, the ebooks about prop and costume making. I sell blueprints, all that junk. Good junk, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, nice. Good deals and crap on Friday, so people should go check that out.
All right, good deals, everybody. That's it. Thank you, Bill. We'll talk to you next time. See you.
Hi, Bill. Happy holiday. Yeah, have a good one, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. all right, we're going to do some emails while Jury's in the sky with diamonds, and they are brought to you by...
Bath floaties.
I took a bath yesterday. I thought, hey, a warm bath will chill me out. I need a nice little relaxing moment here. I'm going to go in and get in the tub. And there were weird floaties in there. That's all I had to say about that.
God, okay.
Yeah, I think it just hadn't been cleaned.
It wasn't like a duck, a little rubber duck or a rubber Mendoza goose that you brought in yourself.
No. Like weird particulates. Like from, I think nobody's had a bath in there forever, and it was probably just like dust monkeys that had just sort of collected or whatever. But as soon as it started filling up, I'm like, I'm not getting in that. What's this? So I drained it and did it again. It's kind of a waste of water.
Dust Monkeys was my favorite Dust Brothers Arctic Monkeys mashup band ever.
Nice. It'd also be a good iOS free-to-play game, wouldn't it?
Dust Monkeys. Totally, yeah.
Let's make one.
Also sounds like a racist term, but I don't know for what.
I don't either. Josh Espinoza wrote in. Says, hey, Scott and Brian. Just wanted to write in and tell you how much joy I get out of your story of getting a CT scan with contrast. Jeez, I get a 2.5-hour MRI every year with contrast, and I always get the same feeling. So I'm one of those people that probably appreciates your story more than most. You do a great job of making these kinds of experiences funny. Hey, listen, I should say this. Let me interrupt his email for this important announcement. I often share these things so that we can get the humor in them, because otherwise I'd just be a nervous wreck.
Exactly. It's... Right, finding the funny in it so that it doesn't seem so horrifying.
I have to laugh. And I hope when I go into these things, I'm looking for the weird. Like, I want the lady to do something weird or somebody to say something dumb or something so that we can talk about it on the show and have a good time with it, because it's kind of my therapy in a weird way. Anyway, you do a great job making these experiences funny. I have a feeling that my next MRI... my next MRI, your story is going to come to mind and probably make me laugh, even though the technician will probably get mad at me for moving. Thanks for all the laughs. Thanks. You guys are the best. Love the show, though. Josh Espinoza. Well, thank you, Josh. Much appreciated. We got one here from Trumpole. He says, hey, Van Johnson and Brian Wilson. Nice. I was recently thinking about older celebrities. If you asked a teenager who William Holden was...
Texas Hold'em.
What are the chances they would know? Very small, I think. But at one time, he was the most famous movie star in the world. Ask the same thing about Van Johnson, a guaranteed box office draw in his day, and how likely it is anyone under 40 would even know who he was. So that got me to thinking, who among the current crop of stars will still be famous in 50 years? Does Seth Rogen, Adam Sandler, or Rihanna have staying power? Can you guys think of anyone who does? In 70 years, who will be this generation's Betty White? Also, is the fear of being forgotten why so many so-called celebrities like Danny Bonaducci and Tanya Harding try so hard to stay in the public eye? Just some food for thought for you guys. Love the show. Okay, I have a theory about all this.
Mm-hmm.
The last part about people staying in the public eye, I do think is an innate human desire.
Sure.
It would really bother Brian and I, whether we admit it publicly or not, if suddenly nobody was listening to this show.
Right.
If suddenly... Yeah. Just nobody was listening, then we would be like, well, what the hell are we doing? Obviously, the audience is important for us to want to do this. So I think that there's this desire to just, you know, you want to leave your mark, right? You want to leave
you want to be remembered. You want to have a legacy,
and
be appreciated, recognized, relevant.
And some people go further to accomplish that than others, some more desperately, some more moderately, whatever.
Leaked sex tapes.
Exactly. That's where we're going next. I'm excited about that.
Is that our new thing?
Yeah. But the question about what stars like Rogan or Sandler or Rihanna or any of these people have staying power in 70 years. No, it'll be like William Holden. It'll be like Van Johnson.
Yeah, but I mean, you like people like John Wayne. You know, people know who John Wayne is. People know who Humphrey Bogart is. People know.
Well, your own kid thought he was a pilgrim. Well, yeah. So you and I
he kind of knew.
So you and I mean, we know the name because it's been immortalized, because now there's an airport named after him and there's other things like that. But you and I know him. I feel like he had longer staying power for sure. But there is a young generation right now. I have no freaking idea. So there's some who will extend beyond a bit. Sure. He's a good example. Betty White's a great one to bring up because she's still kicking it.
Who in the current crop of celebrities do you think will, you know, still be talking about 50 years from now? I like this. It's a really good question. I could say maybe Dave Grohl.
Maybe from a music perspective. Yeah. I think musicians are the ones that last the longest. I think they get the longest staying power.
Yeah, that's true, because you still know people like, obviously the Beatles and Neil Young and, Bobby Darin, and you know, you're trying to go as far back, like somebody that I still listen to.
Yeah, or
way back, Frank Sinatra,
Elvis, Sinatra, right?
Elvis, sure.
Any of those guys. So you hear these names and you go, "Oh yeah, I know who they are," because you can still discover them and appreciate them and whatever. You can even see old movies, but the movies don't have the same staying power, and therefore the stars and the style of acting and that kind of stuff tends to wane. So you know, nobody's going to remember Rock Hudson other than the whole AIDS thing,
right?
But
I mean, will people think of in 50 years, will people think of Minnie Driver and Jim Carrey, and, you know, probably Jim Carrey more than Minnie Driver?
Yeah. But would I'm trying to think of a famous.
And for the record, I like Minnie Driver.
Yeah, no, I love Minnie Driver.
I'm not picking on anybody.
No, I like her too. Okay, let's use the big crop, cream of the crop right now. The most notable celebrities, let's say people like Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt,
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence, let's say.
Sandra Bullock.
These people will probably be, people will know of them in 50 years, but I feel like it's, they'll be bygones, because, you know, this is the way it works. I've come to grips with this.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it.
As crazy as he is and as crazy as this sounds, I think Tom Cruise could be one of the Humphrey Bogarts of our generation, not based on talent, but just based on brand recognition, on name, you know, notoriety.
Well, so here's an example. It just came to mind.
The Fatty Arbuckle of our generation.
I mean, Mickey Rourke is a guy that people knew. Not Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney?
Was a guy that people knew from, you know, decades of movies and TV and stuff in back in the day. A generation of children know him as one of the curmudgeonly dudes in the first or maybe first and second Night at the Museum movies. They don't really know who he is. They just know he's this guy. So I think a lot of those guys get extended careers and maybe renewed careers in some ways, like he did at an old age. But I think that's more rare than it is, you know, common. So I don't know. I mean, we hold on to these things as long as we can. But in the end, like, I was just thinking about Bruce Dern. Bruce Dern wasn't even a guy on my radar, really, when he was at his heyday of, like, you know, Easy Rider and all that period, right?
Sure.
I wasn't following any of that. I didn't know what the hell was going on there. As far as I knew, Bruce Dern didn't even exist anymore.
Right.
Until I see this movie and go, oh my gosh, Bruce Dern, man, what a powerhouse, what a this thing and that. Like Tarantino has a way of resurrecting these people.
Totally.
You know, bringing them back to the forefront. And
Pam Grier and John Travolta. And
sure.
Yeah.
In fact, name one.
From Tierney. What's his name? Lawrence Tierney?
Lawrence Tierney. Yep. That's a good one. Who else is he always having stuff? I know Samuel L. Jackson is, but he was on the rise anyway. Although you say he was on the rise, but relatively speaking, his big career started happening in later age.
Sure.
I don't know. Like, will we talk about Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. and stuff in 50 years?
Probably Robert Downey Jr. Maybe not so much Chris Evans. I don't know.
Maybe. But at some point they do slip into history and you don't, you know, nobody knows who President Taft is. You know what I mean? Like, you just forget.
Right.
And it just doesn't matter. It's not relevant to your time. And I think people struggle with that. That's what they're fighting against, is they don't want to be irrelevant. And I understand that.
Yeah. Will we still be talking about Robert Pattinson in
5 years, 10
years?
I'm going to say no. Probably I'm going to say, is Tara Reid going to come up in conversation around the table in 2050? Yeah. Like when Nick's 50, will that be a thing to talk about? Nick may go, huh, yeah, that was a thing my dad laughed at, but that's about it.
We should put Tara Reid in a time capsule.
We should do a lot of things with Tara Reid for science, for science, for science.
Let's leave it right there.
We'll leave it right there. All right. Because I did not mean that at all. All right. So I got an email from somebody, from Brendan Powers. Who
Brent can watch if he's got $100.
That's right. Brendan Powers sent in an email and a link and said, This is what happens when people scream at night in Sweden. And I thought, when people scream at night in Sweden. And so we're going to have to ask Wendy about this when we see her next. But this is a really odd thing. This is audio from a clip in an apartment complex where at night, presumably like 10 or 11 at night, this dude goes out and screams. And you're going to be blown away by what happens here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So here it is, right here.
It's Tuesday in Lapis, Stockholm, Sweden. It's almost 10 p.m. This is what happens when one person starts screaming at night.
Opens out back door, patio. That's enough. Like they've had their fun. Oh. And then you're thinking, oh, well, then this is totally. Oh. It
What's funny is how it ripples. Like it's not like a constant thing. It's a pause for a while and then another cluster of people scream.
Yeah, it's like the wave, and it goes on forever. That video is like 3.5 minutes long, and they just keep screaming. It's the weirdest
college.
Thing. It's so weird. I know, college, right? So weird.
It's a dorm area, isn't it, if I remember that video correctly?
Yeah, some school deal thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, college thing. Who knows? Okay, great. That's it for emails. Thank you for sending that and other things in that you guys send. themorningstream@gmail.com is our email address. Please keep those coming. We'll be back tomorrow with more show. We'll have Nicole.
it'll be Sword and Laser up in this bitch.
Yeah, why not? And the usual Wednesday shenanigans. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Twitter is where we can be found. Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. Let's get out of here. Do you want to do some music? Okay. What do we got here?
How about some music? All this right. One's going out to Edwin Hoover from Maryland.
Okay.
He also goes by Hoover96 in the chat room. Hi, Squirt and Bum. I'm a volunteer fire. Oh, burn. Hi, Squirt and Burn.
Squirt and Burn.
Sometimes R's and N's, when they're really close to you, look like an M. Yeah. I'm a volunteer firefighter from Maryland, and I'd like to request a cover of Fire by the Ohio Players for my dive into adulthood, aka my 18th birthday. Happy 18th birthday. Wow. Volunteer firefighter. Good on you, man. Jeez.
That's cool.
This song is obviously held in high esteem among firemen and women. And if you couldn't find a good cover, I would appreciate any good cover of an Imagine Dragons song. I've been in the fire service a measly 2 years since I was allowed to join at 16 and have gone to technical school to make it my career. These have easily been the best 2 years of my life so far, with all the adrenaline pumping experiences and all the new friends I've made. Love the show, Edwin. That's awesome. That's super awesome.
That is cool.
So a cover of Fire by the Ohio Players. It seems appropriate with all the looting and crap that was going on in Ferguson last night. As soon as I was listening through some versions this morning of the song, because the original version begins with fire engine sirens, right?
Right.
And so you hear that and you're immediately like, oh God, you know, it's all the stuff I saw on the news last night, the Today Show this morning. How about a version by Tackhead? Now, Tackhead is made up of some members, some trip hop, industrial hip hop guys who were part of DJ Grandmaster Flash's backup band for The Message, and also White Lines. They do
White Lines. That
that's the one. Yeah,
oh, okay.
And The Message, hip a hop.
That's the up, chicken tastes like wood, right?
That's I think that's Young MC's. Or no, we've talked about this before.
We have talked about this, because the Busta Move is not it.
Is not it, yeah. That's
but
a
it's they're
song.
In the same, you know, genus.
They're in the same family, right?
Sure.
They came out of the same spigot. more fire talk, more volunteer fire department speak.
Love it.
This is Tackhead, and their version came out this year on their album For the Love of Money. It's a cover of the Ohio Players, Fire.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play it now. How about that? Here it is. We'll play it. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do a whole new show. Thank you all for being here. Be here then. Take care of yourselves. Be good to one another. And don't eat the yellow snow. Bye.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Red hot of fire, melting turntable and speaker cable. Fire. Fire. How is your one? Coming just like a bomb. Fire.
The way you walk and talk really sets me off to a full alarm chime. The way you squeeze, gee, not to my knees, cause a little smoking be bad, be bad.
So good, it's like you're there.
That's because he's so shifty.